11-year MLS pro Quincy Mariquois here, and you're now listening to The Perfect Soccer Podcast, where your host goes one-on-one to get to know your favorite professional soccer players, both on and off the pitch. Because how better to learn what it takes to become a pro soccer player other than directly from pro soccer players? Today's episode is brought to you by PerfectSoccerSkills.com, the number one and only platform you'll ever need to connect with and learn from pro soccer players. Learn more and enter to win weekly soccer prizes, goals, balls, jerseys, player meet and greets, and more by heading over to PerfectSoccerSkills.com/PSTM to enter to win for free today. With that said, please enjoy today's episode.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Perfect Soccer Podcast. Our special guest today is Leslie Osborne. Leslie, how's it going?
It's going awesome. Thanks for having me. I'm excited to chat today.
Yeah, appreciate you coming on. So usually I ask people about their soccer careers first, but I think I'm going to go in reverse order today. So I know you're the co-founder of the new Bay FC soccer team. So tell me a little bit how all that got started.
Yeah, it really started like more than 3 years ago when Angel City announced their ownership group. I remember texting Julie Foudy and being like, what? How come you didn't tell us about this? And like just so kind of inspired, jealous, and awe of what Angel City was doing. And I immediately called my co-founders, Danielle Slayton, Allie Wagner, and Brandi Chastain, and said, hey, Angel City is doing this. Why aren't we? And about a month later, we got connected to an amazing woman up here that's been in sports and tech for a long time. And we jumped on a call with her and she was trying to create a team too. So the two parties really came together at an amazing time. And I'll never forget one of the first phone calls we had with her. She told us that raising money will be one of the easiest things we do. And still to this day, I remember us all laughing on that call because, as you know, female investments in women's soccer or investments in women's soccer has been difficult in the past. And you haven't really seen that change up until the last 5 years. So having a lot of extra capital and resources being pumped into women's soccer, just it was always a hard thing. We've had two leagues that had folded previously. So to be able to have, you know, an investor owner say, hey, if we go out and do this, like raising money actually might be one of the easiest things that we do. And she was right. I think us four with our vision, our background, we've all played professional soccer for a long time. We represented our country. We played overseas. We've gone through every experience a player has gone through. And not to mention, we've all succeeded at the highest level possible. And so I think that combination of us four being former professional soccer players and walking in those shoes before, but also wanting to create something different, a global brand and to do something different that no other women's sports franchise team has done before. And so it was a 3-year journey. Our main investor is Sixth Street Capital. And without them, we wouldn't be able to do a lot of this stuff. They're pumping more than $125 million into our team. They want to build out a female women's specific training facility in the next 3 to 5 years, and then eventually a stadium. And yeah, it's been a fun journey and ride. I think what separates us from any other club in the world is that the founders are former athletes and former players. And we hope that that is a recruiting tool and that that is a, you know, when other players are thinking about coming to play here for Bay FC, that us being the owners can be a differentiator and that they know they're going to be taken care of and that we're going to build a club around the players and making sure that their well-being and safety is the priority in our club.
Yeah, no, for sure. That's dope. And like how involved are you going to be like during, like once the team is formed and things like that, like day-to-day wise and like, or like, what do you want to do?
Yeah, I think the last 3 years as co-founders had our hands in everything, right? Like from fundraising to grassroots marketing, to going to events, to spreading the word, to finding more investors, to pretty much like anything we needed to do, like we put our hand up and did it. I think my role, especially now in the last 6 months, is to be an ambassador for Bay FC, and I'm a co-founder. So I do a lot of speaking engagements, PR, any opportunity where we can promote our team, us for our ambassadors of the club. So that's one area that we're heavily involved. Danielle Slayton has an operating role, and so she is like heading up strategic projects. And then Allie Wagner is sitting on the board. So she plays a big role being a co-founder and ambassador, but also being on the board level is very pivotal. I'm hoping maybe to have an operating role. I really want to work with our players directly and really try to help them make additional revenue. I also want to help our players prepare for life after soccer, and at the same time, help them monetize their brand. You know, female professional athletes have such a unique opportunity. They have such a following. They have a platform. They have a strong social media presence. So to be able to get them, you know, comfortable in front of a camera, have media training, having the opportunities to collaborate with companies, I also think is just such a recruiting tool of knowing that when you come to Bay FC, like, you have an opportunity to make more money, but Bay FC is also going to prepare you for life after soccer, which I'm very passionate about. And I think that there's not a lot being done out there for especially female professional athletes. We just don't make as much money as the men. And that's our reality right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, for sure. And that's actually like the next question I was going to ask you. Like, 10 years ago, you retired. Like, did you ever see yourself owning a team?
No, I didn't. I wanted to stay in the game, and I've been working for Fox Sports, and I've covered 3 Women's World Cups, and that has filled my cup in some ways. But I think really getting exposed to business at the tail end of my career and jumping into angel investing, learning about, you know, I'm a co-founder of a company called Hustle Beauty. So I think learning that business side really helped give me the encouragement and the, positivity to know that, like, I can go out and do something like that. I think that entrepreneurship really gave me that confidence to do that. And I think the timing of us 4 becoming co-founders, really, there's been an inflection point in women's sports last 5 years. And you're starting to see more former players becoming owners, and it's becoming more of a thing. But also just in general, you're seeing so many athletes now be investors in companies, right? They're starting their own companies, and that business and sports like partnership relationship has now become much more common. And so no, 10 years ago, I probably wouldn't have thought that. But when you look at us 4, we're all former Broncos. We all have major roots here to the Bay Area. We are go-getters. Like, we're super competitive. We all have very different personalities, but we all, when we talk about what football has done for all of our lives, it has been the main engine, the main focal point. It is our foundation. I can't even describe what my life would be like without football. And so to be able to have an impact and have an influence and continue to have it in the women's game, but also be on the ownership side, like, the beauty of us 4 is we've been in so many different teams, leagues, organizations. We've learned what's worked, what hasn't worked. And now it's kind of like our opportunity to be able to shape and influence our club. And I don't know, it's super special. And I also have 3 little girls, and I don't know if they'll end up playing. Right now they're really into it. They're very young, but for my girls to be able to, like, literally grow up alongside of these role models and mentors, like, these women are badasses. Yeah. And people are finally, like, seeing how incredible female footballers are. And it's just because of, you know, social media and because of the exposure and audience and the visibility now of these athletes. And I don't know, there's nothing more that motivates me than having my little girls look at me every day. Like, honestly, that is my why and why I'm doing this.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. And then, like, even going back to your point with, like, just athletes buying into ownership group, like, I'm pretty sure soccer has been number one too. Like, I've seen it at, like, almost every day. I see somebody else, a celebrity, athlete, anybody.
I know, it's like kind of the cool thing to do, which I'm like, hey, we'll take that. You know, soccer, as you know, has never been like the cool sport in the US. And now you're seeing Ryan Reynolds investing overseas, and you're seeing these, like, you know, stars, like, hip hop and celebrities, like, invest in these teams and think it's like the cool thing to do. And they see the opportunity. This isn't just like, hey, I've got a daughter that plays soccer. Like, no, this is like a real investment opportunity.
Yeah, I think, the MLS, I think it was like the spike in the last 10 years of ownership and like how much money they made off it was like insane.
And the same thing
with the women's side, I know everything's growing too. So I'm assuming by the trajectory, everything will be going up.
Yeah, we are too.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Oh, I also wanted to, before we go into your soccer career, you mentioned Hustle Beauty. So tell me a little bit about that and how that all got started.
Yeah, I was playing professionally for the Boston Breakers, 12 years ago. And me and my co-founders had an idea. We struggled with having products that were designed for athletes. Like, we had to wear sunscreen because we were in the sun all day playing, but we also wanted to look good and feel good. And when you wear, I'm sure you've experienced this sunscreen, it like burns your eyes, it makes you break out, it's nasty, nobody wants to wear it. Yeah. And we wanted to create a product that would, yeah, protect our skin, but also make us look good and feel good. So we started a company called Sweat Cosmetics, and we were live for 7 years. We were sold, on Amazon, Anthropologie, Sephora, a lot of places. And we just rebranded into Hustle Beauty. But the concept is like this athleisure beauty. So many women now are hustling. They're on the go. They're going from one thing to the next. Being a mom, like, it's nonstop. And we, whether we're actually working out or not, we need products that are like designed for women on the go. And so that's like the concept of our brand. And all four of us are also former professional soccer players. So it's kind of cool that we've been able to go from the playing field to being entrepreneurs. And we've really been passionate about, you know, of this concept of like products designed for active women. There just hasn't been a lot out there. And we really feel like we're still like waiting for that big opportunity, but check us out, Hustle Beauty, amazing products. And just the whole concept is like women on the go who hustle, and a lot of freaking women are hustlers. So.
Yeah, no, that's a great name too.
Thank you.
All right. Let's go back into your soccer career. So give me your first memory of playing soccer.
Probably when I started, I was 10 years old. I started late. I feel like now when I tell people that, they're like, oh my God, you were 10? But my sister played. And so I just started playing. And my parents said that when they saw me play for the first time, it was like the ball was stuck to my foot. Like God wanted me to play soccer. Like I literally was made to have a ball on my foot. I absolutely loved it from the moment I touched a ball. And when I look at my career, it was like a ladder. I took every single step of a ladder. I did not skip any steps. I played with the boys, and then I tried out for ODP, and then I made the regional team, and then I made the youth national team, and then I made the U16, U18, U20, U21 national team, and then I made the full national team. So, you know, my parents knew nothing about soccer. And when I look back, I'm like, that was the beauty of it. Like, they followed me, my lead. I loved it. I wanted more. I kept asking for more. And my parents had to figure out like, okay, what do we do with her next? Or where do we go? Or what team? And it was just like such a fun journey. Coming out here, playing at Santa Clara was an incredible experience. But when I look back, I still go back to my childhood days, like the feeling that I had every single day of playing soccer. And I was obsessed. I trained a lot. By myself. I played with boys teams growing up. I played with girls. My sister was 3 years older than me, so I would always play with her teams. And I think that really was the differentiator. I think playing with the boys and older girls just made me that much better. So when I got with kids my age, I was like, yeah, it's a lot slow. Like I just felt so much better, you know? But yeah, it's my childhood days. Those are the best, you know?
Yeah, it's funny because it's funny that you say that, because like a lot of people say that every time like I have somebody on, they always say they always played upper. If it's a girl, they play with the boys. And it's like that just seems like that's the key right there. So,
yeah,
one key.
One key. Yeah.
Enjoy learning what it takes to become a better player from professional soccer players. Well, how would you like to work with professional players one on one? Now you can with Be Pro by Perfect Soccer. Head over to perfectsoccerskills.com/BEPRO to apply to work with our network of pro players today.
When did you know that you were like really good and you could be a pro?
A pro, I think at Santa Clara, we won the national championship my freshman year. And at that time, Danielle Slayton and Allie Wagner, who are my co-founders of AFC, were juniors and seniors in college. And I remember them getting drafted to go play pro. And so I was a freshman. And so I'm watching Danielle Slayton be the number one pick in the draft. And then I'm watching Allie Wagner the next year be the number one pick in the draft. And I'm thinking, if I stay on this trajectory, I might have an opportunity to be the number one draft. I might have the opportunity to play for the U.S. national team. And so I think my experience at Santa Clara really helped me make that jump from being just a great college player to playing for the U.S. team. I got called in my junior year with the U.S. women's national team in 2003 and got to play with like Mia Hamm and Brandy and Lil all of their last years. And I think once I was in with that group, as intimidating it was, it felt so good to finally know like, okay, this is what it's going to take. And the hardest part about being part of that U.S. women's national team is being consistent and showing up at your best every single day. And so I think it was like my junior year in college where I was like, yeah, I think that if I keep it up, like I could go pro. The chances are pretty strong if I want it. And I wanted it big time.
That's awesome. Yeah. What was that? What was that like winning the national championship your freshman year?
A whirlwind, right? Like, and that was the only year we won it. We lost in the finals my junior and senior year. And so I literally won it one time my freshman year, but I really think that was like the Kickstarter for me. That was like, okay, I came in as a freshman. I played a lot. I had incredible leaders and captains on the team. I played a big role scoring goals and just helping that team, whatever they needed. I was scrappy. I was that Midwest girl that just worked her ass off. And I think that set the tone for my college career. And I think that that motivated me and inspired me to a whole nother level. I think I embraced being a leader just because of winning and then them graduating. I felt like I had bigger shoes to fill. And then also I was ready to like to win every year. And so that like intensity every year of trying to be a national champion and thinking that that was something that we could do. It didn't work out, but you know, to go to the Final Four, 3 out of your 4 years is a pretty good stat. And I'm just grateful that, you know, Jerry Smith, my college coach, is the best coach I've ever had, that he year in and year out created this culture and atmosphere that some years I was like, we're not going to be that good, but he could take a group and get the best out of us. And the mentality and that atmosphere to play at Santa Clara Bronco, to wear that, like there was so much pride that went into that. So winning was a whirlwind. It was the best. And if I knew that that would be my only year to win, I probably would have like soaked it up differently. You know what I mean? But as a freshman, you're like, what is going on? You know, like, wait, this is the way it's going to go, you know?
Yeah, no, that's cool. And then what did it look like? Because I know it wasn't that long ago, but the pro women's soccer leagues just like looked way different back then. So like, what was your path like to get to the women's professional league?
Yeah, my junior year. So Danielle Slayton went number one. The first league was called the WUSA. And we actually had a team here in San Jose called the San Jose Cyber Race, who actually won the championship in 2001. So wild. I thought I was going to get drafted to the WUSA. Danielle had gone one in 2002. And then Allie Wagner went number one in 2003. So I'm thinking, okay, 2004, hopefully I go, you know, in the draft. It was right before my senior year that it folded. Yeah. And it was, I remember some of my teammates who were on that cusp of like, should I try to go play pro or not? For me, I was blessed to have had the opportunity to be in with the U.S. Women's National Team. And so I knew the likelihood of me getting called into camp and being part of that team was likely. But I remember my teammates who go, oh my God, if I want to play professional soccer, I'm going to have to go play in Europe. Like that was the only option. Yeah. So it was pretty devastating to see that happen and know that, you know, we weren't going to play in a professional league. And if I would have known that a league would have came back 5 years later, I probably would have felt different. But at that time, you had no idea if we were going to see another professional league. And so the second time around, the WPS, I was one of the U.S. players allocated to teams, and they allocated me here to the Bay Area. And so I played for FC Gold Pride. And again, if I would have known that that league would have lasted only 3 years, it's just so wild looking back and going, the first two leagues only lasted 3 years. Yeah. And so the difference in this league, the NWSL, is really, I think, a few things, but US Soccer partnering with the league and helping them with costs and the foundation of the league and the stability. They were such an incredible partner for the NWSL to give them backbones and to give them that foundation and that business model for the franchises to be able to work. They just exited 2 years ago. So we went 8 years with US Soccer, but you know, things are, I'm sure you saw the media deal that was signed last week. You know, the trajectory is high. I mean, there's more investment in women's soccer than ever before. And these franchises, including Bay FC, realize that they only want to keep moving the needle. And it's continuing to get better. The expectation is higher. The standard is higher. And it's just been a fun ride to be part of, you know, I was a player in the second league and the NWSL. I missed out on the first league, but I'm proud that, you know, our league just celebrated their 10-year reunion and we're going on year 11. And I mean, I'm sure you remember too, the MLS, what they were like at year 10, right? And now they're what, on year 27, 28, right? And look at the numbers and what they're doing. And so we know that there's still so much potential in women's sports and the NWSL specifically.
Yeah. Yeah, no, definitely. So like all those years, so like you were on the national team too. So how did that, like, how did you, like, I guess, how did you survive like financially and stuff?
Well, thankful for the US Soccer, we had contracts. So we lived in LA, we had residency camps. We all, some of the best years of our life, me and Heather O'Reilly talk about this all the time. We lived in Manhattan Beach. We had residency. We lived in LA full time and we trained for the 2004 Olympics. We trained for the 2007 World Cup. We trained for the 2008 Olympics. And for 4 years, 5 years, starting in 2004, we lived in LA and we trained together. We ate together. We breathed together. We did everything together. And we traveled around the world together. There was no league. So it was a smaller group. I would say it was 25 players that were on contract. And then every camp, they might bring in a few extra players to have them see how they would do. But for the most part, we were a core group and we all had guaranteed contracts. And so financially, we were taken care of. We had housing. We had, you know, some of us had sponsorship deals. Most of us did. And so, you know, as a 23-year-old, 24, I was 23, 24, 25, 26, I was doing pretty well. And enjoying living in LA and being a professional women's soccer player. And some of our best memories are literally living together in residency camps, training for those big tournaments.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. Yeah, I read that you were sponsored by Puma. Is that correct?
Puma sponsored me for 10 years. So grateful. Such an amazing company. I did so much with them. I was really like their only US player. And Marta was one of their big players. So we just got to do so many cool things and travel to Germany and it was just such a fun partnership. And I'm still close to them to this day.
Yeah. So are you ready for the Quincy questions?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. What was
where's Quincy, by the way?
he does his own show and then I do this show.
Oh, got it. Okay. But does he do the Paul questions?
No. I don't know. We got to pitch that to him, I guess.
Well, yeah. At least if you're going to do the questions, he's got to make it to the show or he's got to be.
Yeah. I like that. What was the most important quality or skill that you feel made you successful as a pro player?
My work rate.
I like that. What's the biggest mistake you think pro players are making?
Putting all their eggs in one basket, not preparing for their next step.
What advice would you give to a young player like trying to either make a pro league or get a scholarship?
It's all about what you do when no one's looking. So if you really want it, you'll get it. I think so many kids right now and parents are obsessed with what other kids and parents are doing. And I think at the end of the day, if you want it, you'll find a way. And I think about Carly Lloyd in this because she's a player for me that did always extra. And she did it when nobody was watching, nobody was looking. She did the training. She did everything on her own to be the best. If you want to be the best, you're willing to put it all in and you'll find a way.
For sure. Why are you passionate about soccer?
The feeling I get when I play, when I cross those lines and everything kind of went away. And everything that football has given me in my life, the relationships. I've traveled to more than 30 countries, experiencing different cultures. My teammates, some of my teammates from the US team and professionally, are some of my best friends. So the relationships, and then the learning lessons. I've gone through the biggest highs, winning gold medals, being on the podium. And I've also gone through the toughest times, being cut, being told I wasn't good enough, having career ending injuries. And I wouldn't trade it for anything, because I feel like I'm here talking to you today, Paul, because of all of those learning lessons.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. All right, these next two, you could either answer them in soccer terms or life terms. What is something most people think is true that you believe isn't?
Oh, God, Quincy, really? Okay, repeat it. What is one thing that I think is true that other people don't, or vice versa?
Yeah. What's something that people think is true that you believe isn't? So it could be like anything. Like sometimes, like if it's someone likes a certain food, that you go like that route, or like people think like, I don't know, just because you're an athlete, like you're famous or something like that.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's a perception that, you know, the women's soccer players make a ton of money, and even professional athletes and professional soccer players, they think they make a ton of money, and they don't. The reality is I think the average salary in the NWSL right now is like 50K. It's not a lot of money. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's a fitting one.
Yeah, no, for sure. And just like the WNBA too, it's just like the big thing is like they go play overseas during the offseason to make more money.
Yep, exactly.
What is something you would move forward with if you weren't scared of what would happen if things didn't go well?
That's a great question. I don't know if I'm afraid of anything, but I feel like sometimes I limit myself because I have three young girls and I put my family first a lot of the time. And sometimes I think like, I wonder if I have my own podcast, like you're doing it, right? Mm-hmm. There's been so many times over the years where I'm like, oh, I should start my own podcast. And then I chicken out. I'm like, oh, I'm not gonna be able to put everything into it. Or, you know, maybe I want to go work for CBS or go do more TV, but I don't know if I want to travel that much because I've got a young family. So sometimes I think I limit myself, but I'm also just try to be realistic with where I'm at in my life. But really, I think the question for me is if I didn't have any kids or family and I'm like 30 years old again, what would I go do? You know, because that's what I think about. I'm like, what did I do when I didn't have children? Like I thought I was busy, and I was hustling. But now, you know, having kids, everything is based around my three young daughters, you know? So I just think like this is for athletes out there, especially professional athletes, like take advantage of that time that you have. You think you're busy, but really you're only training once a day, maybe two times a day. You have an incredible platform. You have an incredible network. Take advantage of it, and then also prepare for what's next. Because then I think that next jump when you retire or you go from playing college to the real world, it'll be less scary because you're prepared.
Yeah, no, for sure. I think that's what more athletes are doing now, just like planning ahead of time. Obviously, you were a lot of steps ahead with creating your own brand as well before.
Well, I had to, because I had an injury that they told me I would never play again. And it like forced me to. So I look at it as a blessing in disguise. But for some players who never experience those moments or injuries, how do you prepare, you know? And like, if you're playing out here for the Earthquakes or Bay FC and you're interested in real estate, like, oh, awesome. During the season, we can help you with real estate and bring out people. You can help get your certificate. Just trying to figure out how you can utilize and capitalize on being a professional athlete and gain that momentum and experience. So when then you are done playing, it's a lot easier transition, and it's not looked down upon, you know? So.
Yeah. It's almost like when you're in school and like you're a student, and then you reach out to people and they like that you're a student. It's the same thing when you're still active athlete.
Exactly. Because listen, once you have retired on your resume, it just hits a little different.
Yeah, for sure. Are you ready for these last ones? These fun questions?
Yeah.
I already know your answer to this one, but I just want your explanation. Soccer or football?
Oh, football. Like, what do I say?
Yeah.
Yeah, football.
But why?
Because I think I've been in Europe a lot. My husband lived in London. We go there all the time. Like, football is just the way that the whole world speaks it, except for here. So I'm a traditionalist. I'm not sure, but I still like gravitate towards football.
All right. Who is a jersey exchange with that you would want to do that you didn't do?
Ooh, you know what? I was in Sydney for the Women's World Cup and I busted out my Marta jersey and I was so happy that I had her jersey back from 2001. It was total vintage. She was like 17 at the time. She was before she was, you know, one of the best players in the world. And I was so happy that I had her jersey. Christine Sinclair. She is just a legend and a goat. I played with her professionally. I can't believe I didn't get her jersey then. And if I could do it all over again, I think she will always be one of my favorite players to ever play the game.
That's awesome. Last one. What's your favorite food?
Cheese.
I'm from Wisconsin.
Yeah. None of my girls like cheese. It is devastating.
Oh man, that's great. Well, I appreciate you coming on and can you let the listeners know where they can follow you at?
Yeah, you can follow me on Instagram or Twitter, Leslie Osborne 12, but follow We Are Bay FC because that we just signed our first player and there's a lot more to come. And yeah, it'll be an exciting first year expansion club for us. So,
Quincy Mariquois here, and thanks again for listening. If you enjoyed today's episode, please be sure to share it with someone you feel will get some value from it. And if you could take a moment to leave a review of our podcast wherever you're listening and let us know who you'd like us to interview next, we'll get working on that right away. You can listen to this full episode and more at perfectsoccerskills.com/radio. That's perfectsoccerskills.com/RADIO. You can also enter to win free weekly soccer prizes, goals, balls, jerseys, player meet and greets, and more by heading over to perfectsoccerskills.com/PSTM to enter to win for free today.